Internet NZ releases a review into systemic racism and apologises over its response to a video threatening violence to Māori. What changes are ahead for the organisation in charge of internet domain names? How grape waste from the wine industry is being turned into carbon-soaking biochar? And after 10, the clinical psychologist who's a TikTok superstar thanks to her short videos on how to improve your mental health. An unexpected outcome for a self-identified introvert, Dr. Julie Smith, with us after 10. A little bit later, she spent time working with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She's worked in palliative medicine for so many, many years, and now she's penned her own book, Susan Marsden, on what she's learnt on death and dying, her own book. Thank you, Elizabeth, it's called. 25 past 11, she'll be with us. 7 past 9 now, Internet NZ has released the findings of a systemic review into racism in the organisation following an incident last year involving a video threatening violence against Māori on the internet. There were concerns not enough was done last May to remove an 8-minute YouTube video encouraging the slaughter of Māori. It stayed out for nearly 24 hours after authorities, including Internet NZ, were alerted. Two Wahine Māori Council members resigned in protest at the delay and frustration at how their prior concerns about increasing online harm targeting Māori had been handled. As a result, Internet NZ brought in an independent expert, Dr. Hana O'Regan, to review the organisation's policies. In confirming evidence of systemic racism, she made several recommendations, including an apology to those who raised concerns. In a moment, we'll speak to one of those, Dr. Kraitiana Tauru, an academic and Māori digital rights expert. But first, I spoke to Internet NZ's chief executive, Viv Maderborn. She began by explaining what Internet New Zealand is.
So Internet New Zealand is the home of all the .nz domain names, and we work more broadly for an internet that benefits all of Aotearoa. So it started off very much about critical national infrastructure. You would probably recognise the work of Internet New Zealand mostly through the domain names we recognise well, like trademe.co.nz or health.gov.nz, anything with a .nz at the end is part of the Internet New Zealand domain name suite. So we're a civil society organisation and we reinvest the money we earn from this work back in the community. And actually we're a membership organisation. So if you want to have a say in the direction of Internet New Zealand, become a member.
All right. You've got a fair amount of power though with the likes of the domain names, and you certainly therefore are known within the ecosystem, as we said. So what happened, and I know it's before your time as chief executive, but what happened with the resignations of two board members over the response to this video? Remind us, Viv.
Well, I've come in and I'm looking at this in retrospect. So from those sort of fresh eyes, it looks to me like what happened is that Internet New Zealand had a pretty clear policy that they were separate from content. They stood aside from content and focused on infrastructure. And over the last 10 years, that's become harder and harder to do because online harm has grown and developed. And in the end, what happened last year was the call from those two Māori women councillors for a change to be made and for concerns they were tabling to be acted on, the action was just too slow. And like many people who are change catalysts, their resigning from council became a very big wake-up call, I think, and the council then sat back and said, wow, we've got to just really take stock here and ask Dr. Hana O'Regan to do that review. So I would say that there was a moment where the standing aside from content, it became really clear that Internet New Zealand Ipurangi Aotearoa could just no longer sit in that space.
Kia ora, Viv. I want to bring Karaitiana in because you were very involved in this. We spoke at the time at your distress and others' distress over what happened. Also, of course, you've got a long track record in the area of Māori digital rights and again in the ecosystem, Karaitiana. Could we get your perspective on what happened and why?
So I guess from my perspective, I mean, Internet New Zealand, they do have a policy that did not involve content. That's correct. They're also a powerhouse within the ecosystem. They have influence to contact all the large players, contact people like the police, the government, various agencies that control, that can moderate content. And also note that at that time, Internet New Zealand was quite involved with the Christchurch call, which was about content. It was about being harmed online. So that Internet New Zealand at that stage already had a track record in this area. So when it came to this video, it's my opinion and many others that Internet New Zealand could have literally picked up the phone and rung someone, and that video could have been taken down very quickly. Instead, at that time, and I'm acknowledging that Viv was not part of Internet New Zealand at that time. I have to stress that she is very new to the organisation. So at that time, the chief executive, the former chief executive, made the statement to me personally that, well, it's not part of our policy. Why should we be involved? So again, my argument is that, you know, as the powerhouse in this area, they had a moral and ethical duty to protect Māori, to protect citizens of New Zealand who were being threatened online.
The egregiousness of this video can't be overstated either, can it, Karaitiana? We're not talking about routine day-to-day abuse that happens. It was something well beyond that, and particularly in the context of what had happened with the mosque atrocity. Karaitiana, your concerns go wider, and as we said, you've got many years working in this area, and indeed the report that Internet New Zealand has had done goes wider. Can you elaborate on other ways that you've had concerns about the direction of an organisation that has such an important place in the internet environment?
Sure. My concerns go back to 1997, when the organisation wanted to make the domain name system in New Zealand more representative of New Zealand communities, of what New Zealand looks like. So at that time, individuals said, well, the system does not reflect our bilingual educational system. So as a kohanga reo, they did not fit into the system, so they wanted a kohanga.nz to be created. That was basically declined for no apparent reason. There was also an application for .maori.nz, since we're a bicultural country. Again, that was declined for no reason. There was a number of largely former Internet New Zealand staff and councillors were quite abusive to Māori who were advocating for representation. There was a number of abusive emails, abusive comments, things like, well, you know, Māori didn't have the internet before, you know, before we came and educated you. Why do you want us to, you know, create these names for? There were significant amounts of issues. Throughout the past 25 years, there's been a number of government consultations that could have prevented a lot of digital harm to Māori. Internet New Zealand at no stage have consulted Māori. They've just on their own, using their own membership, which at one stage I think was only like 40 members, consult their own members and, you know, make submissions to the government which are contrary to what Māori have been asking for. The very latest one was just a few weeks ago when Internet New Zealand is lobbying against online voting, despite many iwi and many Māori organisations preferring online voting, because Māori don't live in their communities anymore. They're spread geographically in New Zealand and around the world, yet Internet New Zealand is still lobbying against that. We had a number of years ago I asked Internet New Zealand to create macrons for the internet addresses. That involved a long process where basically a number of non-Māori were consulted and on the advisory group. This despite the Māori language being an official language of New Zealand. And again, another incident was when I asked for the .NZ system to be made bilingual to reflect Te Tiriti and the Māori Language Act. And I received a simple one-line sentence, no, because that's not part of our policy. So, there's numerous other issues.
Can you explain, again, its authority, Internet NZ's authority? I've seen you quoted as saying the New Zealand government delegated the authority to a group of geeks, your words, back in the 90s, and they've just created their own rules and their own membership. Now, civil society organisation, membership organisation, as Viv explained, and inviting people to become part of it. But when it comes to the actual authority it has vis-a-vis the internet, do you believe there are greater responsibilities than have been exercised?
Most definitely. I think, first of all, the organisation does not reflect New Zealand society. And I mean, for me, I think there should be a good balance of gender balance, race balance, some religious views in there. But essentially, it's a self-governing, they report to themselves, essentially. I mean, over the years, I've made, I think, maybe three complaints to the Human Rights Commission. And it's just, it's gone nowhere. So I think, there's definitely room for improvement.
Ngā mihi, thank you. Kārai te ana, tāuru, our guest, Viv Maidebourne, new chief executive of Internet NZ. Can we come back now to the report you've received that you commissioned after those resignations, after the concerns there was insufficient action taken by Internet NZ after the posting of that video? What's in that report, what's recommended, and what will happen as a response, please, Viv?
So I think the thing that I'd just say is that the council understood at the moment that those videos were posted, councillors resigned, that our understanding or their understanding at the time of the ways in which Internet New Zealand was institutionalising racism needed to understand it way better. And they commissioned the report, which we've now received. And the recommendations in the report are extremely constructive. They've been received unanimously by the council, and now we're in the process of working on with Māori experts on the co-design of the action plan. So I don't think that there's any disagreement that Internet New Zealand has been in the wrong. And so I think that's the first point of power to move forward from in terms of a much more te tiriti o waitangi-centric approach. So the recommendations are a range of different things. And I would say, after lots of years in the community sector, that every community and government organisation, increasingly every private company, will be wanting to look at actions of this sort if we're to step up to a new level of partnership with Māori in Aotearoa. Some of them are immediate things, like co-designing with Māori staff and other minority communities within the organisation around ways of raising discrimination within the organisation that feels safe to those people. So, of course, the organisation has the usual policies around ending bullying, harassment and discrimination, but the feedback and the report is they're not experienced as safe. So that's something we'll be working on immediately. There are longer term suggestions like constitutional review that would change the voting system so that at the moment, as we've learned as a country at the national level and now at the local government level, just having a system where all members, in this case it's members, vote for councillors puts some people at a real disadvantage and some people at a real advantage. And despite Māori stepping up to be councillors repeatedly over the years of Internet New Zealand, only a very few have ever been successful in this voting model. So that needs review, and there are many options being developed in Aotearoa that need consideration for which it would be the way to go forward for Ipurangi Aotearoa. And so that's another area. Of course, constitutional reform for an incorporated society is going to happen anyway over the next 2 or 3 years because of the Incorporated Societies Act, which requires that. So this is a huge opportunity to get alignment here.
So that's within the organisation itself. But Kaitiana, yes. I'm just wondering whether you see any role beyond the organisation looking at itself when it comes to Māori engagement with the internet and what happens on the internet. You seem to suggest that you believe Internet New Zealand could play a bigger role. Is that simply as an influencer? Is it simply, as you said, in this instance, being able to pick up the phone and talk directly to YouTube?
Yeah, there's a bigger role that could be played. And yeah, definitely including content is certainly something that should be a conversation. And I think, again, using their influence as a powerhouse in this area is to actually, you know, really work hard to bring all the different agencies together. I mean, in my opinion, the Harmful Digital Communications Act has failed Māori. There was no engagement or consultation with Māori. And I strongly believe that Internet New Zealand is the only organisation that has the influence to actually solve this issue and bring everyone together.
Is that your view, Viv? Or do you see limits to that?
Well, there are limits, and I also agree. I mean, in the end, we can't take content down off YouTube or Twitter, but my goodness, we could do a way better job at knowing who the people are in those organisations in any month, who we can contact to put the case around harm. And within New Zealand, I completely agree, just with my new eyes, that the regulatory system is way behind where harm on the internet is occurring, what form it takes, and Internet New Zealand must do a way better leadership job within our own networks, influencing government, supporting other agencies to get up to date with the reality now with online harm.
Ngā mihi nui. Kia ora kōrua. Thanks both for your time.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Viv Maidaborn is Internet New Zealand's chief executive, and I was speaking there also with Dr. Kaitiana Tauru, an academic and Māori digital rights expert.